Thank you. This evening, all over the world, Christians are preparing to celebrate Christmas. They are gathering together in their place of worship, much like we have done here this evening, for the telling of the Christmas story. Now, as we listen to the story, we hear it according to the accepted practice of our religious belief. Some individuals consider the Christmas story to apply only to Jesus. They consider him to be the only begotten child of God, that he alone could be called Christ. Now, Jesus made no such claim. He did not claim Christhood as belonging to him only. As he grew up and began his ministry, his message was, "My Father, your Father." He claimed that what he could do, we can do also. But he also made it quite clear that what he could do, he did not do as the man Jesus, but as Christ. His message was truth. And it was meant for all people. Now, the truth is that each one of us is the only begotten child of God, not just that little baby born in a manger in Bethlehem many years ago. Now, some individuals are willing to leave the story in Bethlehem. Some Christians are willing to allow Jesus to be the only begotten child of God. Yes, they hear the message, "My Father, your Father." But they don't understand that this is a relationship that applies to them now, right where they are at this moment. They ponder the idea that Jesus' Father is their Father. And they come to the conclusion that while this sounds like a lovely idea, it must be something that they will experience when they get to heaven. But certainly not while they are yet walking on this earth plane. But some Christians are not willing to accept this version of the story. Something in them tells them that the Christmas story is not merely a story, but rather it is meant to be a personal experience, one that they may have while they are yet walking on this earth plane. When they hear the message, "My Father, your Father," their heart is stirred in recognition. And they want to know more about this Father of which Jesus spoke. They want to have the relationship now. And so they listen a little more closely. Jesus said that his Father was spirit and that he was not of this world. He lives in a kingdom called heaven, a kingdom that is not of this world. Those of you who are here this evening are counted among the Christians who believed Jesus when he told us that our Father is spirit. You see, if you did not believe this, you would not be sitting in this particular church. The child of spirit is Christ. As we gather here together for the telling of the Christmas story, we hear it according to the accepted practice of a spiritual teaching. We speak of Christ as the holy birth, the one of the spiritual nature that is not known by man. It has been written, "Though Christ 1,000 times in Bethlehem be born, unless in thee the Christ is born, the soul is all forlorn." No matter how many times we hear the story, it will not be ours until we find it in us. the birth of Christ takes place in the soul of man. We are told that the news of this birth is heralded by angels. Angels are messengers of God. Only those of God can know of these things. And it is considered a holy birth because it is of God. Now, in that Christmas story of long ago, we are told that there were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. What a night that must have been. A favorite Christmas carol begins with the words, "O Holy Night." It tells us that the stars were brightly shining, and the reason given was because it was the night of the dear Savior's birth. The carol goes on to tell us that the world lay in sin and error pining until he appeared and the soul felt its worth. It is about the soul. The hymn continues, "A thrill of hope, the weary soul rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn." The soul longs for what it knows. When knowledge of a spiritual birth dawns in our consciousness, it is considered sacred. It is holy, truly a night divine. The angels referred to in the Christmas story gave the message to the shepherds in this way. "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now, this message was not meant just for those shepherds who happened to be abiding in that particular field at that particular time. Nor was the message meant only for those wise men, the ones who were able to journey in person to that manger in Bethlehem in order to pay homage to the baby. The message was meant for all people, and that includes us today. Now, we cannot turn back the clock of time and be part of that scene in Bethlehem. We cannot walk with the shepherds as they leave the fields in search of the baby Jesus. We cannot travel with the wise men as they journey from the east. But still, we have been told that this message is for all people. And so we wonder about how this can be. If it is meant for us, if we are to be included in the message, then we must bear witness in a different way. The birth of the Messiah was predicted by the prophets of old. Isaiah spoke of a son who would be born, and his name would be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. It was that prophet Micah who spoke of the one who would come out of Bethlehem to rule over the ends of the earth. And on that holy night, the angels proclaimed that the promised one had arrived. But what about us in this day and age? If we could not turn back the clock and be part of that scene in Bethlehem, then how do we pay homage to the one who has arrived? How does one acknowledge a spiritual birth? What exactly is the holy night of experience When is it ours? Since the holy birth is one of spirit, then it is not restricted to either time or space. It does not come about according to the clock or to that date on the calendar. The holy birth dawns in our consciousness when we are prepared to receive it. It comes when the soul is stirred in recognition. It comes when we are as open and receptive as those humble shepherds of long ago. When this is our state of consciousness, the angel of God will appear, and we will have the experience. The tidings of great joy will be felt in our heart, and our weary soul rejoices. And you see, the really marvelous thing is that we don't have to go outside us to do this. We don't have to get on a plane and travel to Bethlehem to relive that story of old. The story of the birth of Christ is a story of today, not restricted by time or space. It occurs each and every time we turn within and acknowledge my Father. Only Christ can claim God as Father. Our holy night is any time that we become still and know us as spiritual beings. The favorite Christmas carol tells us that the stars were brightly shining on that holy night. Now, it has been said the stars represent man's first awakening before he realizes his Christ. We talk about awakening or of something manifesting or dawning in consciousness. It really is a matter of unfolding to a different idea of self, a new idea of who we are. But you see, we cannot rush realization. As Christians, we may leave that Christmas story in Bethlehem for a very long time before we actually realize it is our story. If we insist on accepting the religious practice of only one only begotten Son of God, then we are not yet ready for our holy night. And I do believe it is every man's and every woman's destiny to have this experience. The stars, the light of our first awakening, reveal that Christ is not a baby we left in a manger in Bethlehem. Christ is not the name of a man who walked this earth for a few years and then he left. Christ is the holy and sacred name of each one of us. It is who we are. If you have not yet had your holy night, let it be tonight. We speak of truth and we speak of light. We consider the word illumination to be synonymous with truth. Light is the symbol of truth. This evening our church is lighted with candles in acknowledgement of that light within us. Let us take a moment and give recognition. Our Father, which art in heaven. This is the truth of being. As we begin the candlelight ceremony, let us be reminded that each light shines alone. Each of us has our own understanding that bears witness to truth. Each light has its own message to give. Each one speaks a personal illumination and revelation. As that light is passed from one to another, we share with one another the beauty and the meaning of that light. And as the light is passed, the entire sanctuary will take on its glow, the illumination as one, your Father, my Father. The Christmas Eve service is a sacred, holy, personal time of celebration. Let us begin our ceremony of light. Now, as we light our candles, let us become still and feel the anticipation and the expectancy. The soul has been stirred in recognition of that divine idea that has dawned in our consciousness. Let us know that this is so. This is your time of awakening. Actually, it is your holy night. Would the ushers please come forward for the lighting of the candles? I ask the congregation to stand for the lighting ceremony. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? In the stillness of this moment, let us enter the silence and rest in the glow of the light. It is with joy and expectancy that I await the Christ, the presence of light from on high. As I prepare for the holy birth, I understand that I must nurture and care for this new idea born in me. I let it take root so that it may grow and unfold in knowledge of the truth of the divine nature. I keep it sacred, and I keep it secret in the holy sanctuary of my being. And when I can testify to what I have seen and to what I have heard, I will bear witness to this birth that has taken place in me. In each of us there is a soul of light. Those who have walked in darkness, they have seen a great light. Wise men still seek him. The shepherds lead their flocks in search for him. This evening, let us each bear witness and hear the angel's message, so that we too may prepare our way to receive him. For unto us a child is born. Let us make room for him in our heart. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he welcome the Christ child so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.
Thank you.